of Christ. And look around the room for a second, and you might see a hand, you might see an arm, you might see a toe, you might see an ear. That's because the Bible describes us as the body, that we are all separate parts, but all one. Christ is the head, and we're the hands and feet of Jesus. That's what that means. And here's the significant and important part about that. By the way, this is what this Rolling Plains sign is all about. Here, 2 weeks ago, in anticipation of this sermon series, our visual design team got everybody that Sunday afterwards to make their imprint, their handprint on it, sign their names to it to say that, hey, we are Rolling Plains Church. Rolling Plains Church isn't a building. You are Rolling Plains Church. I'm Rolling Plains Church. We're the body of Christ together. And then last week, you discovered that you were part of the whole, and you guys signed little puzzle pieces to the cross. That's sitting out there in the lobby. You can still sign up and be a part of that. We got some other things going on the side of the room. So I'm just going to give a big plug to our visual design team and Sadie Anderson. By the way, Sadie plays the piano. If you want to be a part of this team that's starting to do some creative elements in our church, decorating and stuff that enhances our worship experience, you need to see Sadie. She just walked in. She sat down in the back corner. Everybody say hi to Sadie. Wave to Sadie. And you need to get a part of this visual design team. They're doing great things. So I'm going to give you your assignment at the end of the sermon today. I know you guys are desperate with anticipation on wanting to know what that is, but we'll get to that in a minute. But you ever pray by yourself? I pray that everybody in this church, you pray on your own. And in the morning, you get quiet. I know Pastor Nancy gets a cup of coffee. She's surrounded by her dogs. God bless her. God help her. And she gets her devotional book out, and she prays, and she reads the Word. I pray that every single one of you pray on your own, and there's power in that. You guys ever sing and worship on your own, and you sing in the car, you get the river on? What is the river? 89.3. Some of you just got on speed dial in your car, and you get that thing cranking, and you start singing, and you get the Stevie Wonder head going like this, and you're just going nuts, and you're grooving to it, and you pull up to the stop sign, and you just got it going on, and you got the windows down, and you're singing at the top of your lungs, and all of a sudden, you realize that you're not alone. You got a car to your left, a car to your right, and they're all staring at you, wanting to know what has happened. So I know that you guys pray alone. I know that you sing alone, but there's power in that. But there is something powerful and amazing when we come together as the body of Christ. And we hear God's word together, and we sing together, and we pray together. And this is what we're talking about in this sermon series, is we're talking about coming together as the body of Christ. We're talking about who we are, what we're to be about as a church, what are we going to stand for together, that we're the arms, the legs, the feet, the hands of Christ, that we are part of the whole. All of our gifts and graces and the power that comes from each and every one of us in our relationship with God, it comes together, and together it grows and builds our faith. And faith is a key component to who we are at RPC, at Rolling Plains Church. We believe that we want to be a church with a big faith who believes in a big God, and we learn to dream big dreams. That's why one of our emerging core values is to dream big and pray hard. See, you know it's an emerging core value when not only the pastor is the only one that knows what it is. A few of you others are getting it. We're going to dream big and we're going to pray hard. That means we're going to believe in a big God with a big faith and believe that God can do all things, that nothing is impossible with God, and all things are possible with God. So I pray in this sermon today that somewhere inside of you that God stirs up a dream or God stirs up a big moment of faith that you've been waiting to take, and years from now you'll look back at all the events of your life here forward and you'll realize that a decision you made today to step out in faith in an extra special way was a part of that impact, that this was a moment where God nudged you to do something amazing that you have held back on for years. And so we want to talk today about this idea of dreaming big, having a big faith in God, not just as individuals, but as the body of Christ. And so here's what you need to hear about Rolling Plains Church. You ready? And I want us to read this together. Do you guys have this up there that starts with "We are"? Yeah. Let's read this together, all right? With some gusto, too, because I'll make you do it over if you don't have gusto and you don't want to do that. All right, ready? We are going to be faith-filled, big-thinking, bet-the-farm risk-takers who won't insult God with small thinking or safe living. Can I get an amen to that? I mean, does that sound like an exciting place to be and an exciting place to worship, where we're going to seek God for the impossible? And whenever you seek God for the impossible, that's when you open the door and allow Him to do exceedingly and abundantly more in our life and more in our church than we could possibly imagine, all for His glory. We're going to learn to live faith-filled lives as we look to Jesus today, because there were two times when He was amazed. Now, you might say, well, I already live a faith-filled life. Now, listen, this is what we consider a faith-filled life. People say, well, do you have faith? Yeah, I got faith. You got faith? Yeah, I got faith. And then I say, what does that look like? I mean, a faith-filled life means we're taking risks. We're stepping out there. We're believing God's going to pick us up and carry us. We're taking risks. We're letting go of control. We're letting God have at us. And I think for most of us in this church, it's often easy to coast through a week or a month and say we have a faith-filled life, but not have faith at all. by the way that we live, because we're holding back. We're not taking the risks that God is calling us to take, so that he has to show up and move in our lives. So this is what we're talking about today. So here we're going to step into this. Two different times where Jesus was amazed, and it was around faith. The first time is when he's going back to his own hometown of Bethlehem, and he's going to heal and to preach and to teach, and they just completely reject him. You know where that saying, you can't be a prophet in your own hometown? Well, guess what? That came from Scripture. Jesus experienced that. And so that saying comes from that. So he shows up there and he's teaching and he's trying to heal. And look what it says in Mark chapter 6, verse 5. He could not do any miracles there. Is it because Jesus is incapable? No, Jesus is capable, except lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. Here's why. It's because they lacked faith. He was amazed at their what? Their lack of faith. So in your outline, if you have it in front of you, I want you to underline that piece. It's in your bulletin. Underline lack of faith. They had a lack of faith, and because of that, he was amazed. So Jesus is blown away, he's shocked, he's stunned, and he couldn't believe that they didn't believe that he had the power to do what he said he could do. And he couldn't believe that they didn't believe that he was the one that he said he was. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Now that's the first time, so mark that in your brain, it's in your notes. Here's the second time. A Roman centurion, now get this, now watch this now. Now, the Roman centurions and the Jews didn't get along because the Roman centurions basically plundered and pillaged and plighted and just lorded it over, their power over the Jewish people and oppressed them. And the Jews couldn't stand the Romans. Now, watch this. A Roman centurion who has a sick servant goes to Jesus and said, basically, Jesus, I know if you say it right now, my servant will be healed. He says, I know if you speak the word right now out of your mouth, I believe in my heart of hearts that my servant will be healed. And I believe in your word and I believe in what you can do. And Jesus is amazed by the size of his faith. In Luke chapter 7, verse 9, here it is. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, amazed at this Roman centurion, and turning to the crowd, by the way, made up of Jews who were supposed to be followers of Christ, he said to them, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in where? In the church. That's what Israel is. It's the church. He says, hey, listen, this pagan, this non-Christian Gentile, this Roman soldier, who, by the way, doesn't have a relationship with me but has faith in me, has a bigger faith in me than you who purport to be believers. Think about that for a second. So here's, he's amazed at two different moments. Jesus is amazed at someone's lack of faith, and he's also amazed at the great size of someone's faith. So here's the question for you and me today. If Jesus was standing here today, could verbally speak to you in the present, if Jesus looked at your faith level and the size of your dreams, the attempts that you make for his glory and his name, the things that you can believe him to do, would he be amazed at how big and audacious and bold your faith is? Or would he be amazed at your lack of faith? Would he be amazed at your... Because the bottom line is Jesus is amazed with you. You just got to make sure which end of the barrel it is. You know, he's amazed with you. Would he be amazed at the size of your faith, or would he be amazed at the lack of the faith, the dreams that you attempt, the belief that you have in him? If we're honest, if we look at our lives this past week, what great faith steps have we taken? Have we taken steps this past week that were so bold and so daring that if God didn't come through, there were going to be no way for those things to happen? And one of the great signs is your prayer life. How about your prayer life? We're going to dream big, and if you're going to dream big dreams, you got to pray hard that God's going to show up and fulfill those. What did you pray for this week? You know, if he answered yes to every single one of your prayers, would the world you live in be different? Would there be people that were healed? Would there be relationships and marriages that were reconciled? Would there be a child that would be adopted? Would there be full-blown revival breaking out in the churches and our communities? What kind of stuff have you prayed for because of your great faith, believing that God is going to show up in a big way? These big things that God can do. Now, some of us, if we're honest, the biggest prayers that we have is for our food, to get to grandma's house, and find the best parking spot at Walmart possible. I know I'm talking to the right people. I know that's how we pray sometimes. Now listen, there is nothing wrong with that. God says pray about all things. Give him all things. And I'm not here to downplay those things. Pray, by all means, pray about everything, the small and the large. But if that's where our prayer level stops, then we lack a belief in a big God that can do amazing, amazing miracles in our life. Amazing miracles in our life. So what does it look like this past week for you? What steps of faith? What kind of prayers have you been praying? Have you done anything? Have you attempted anything? Have you prayed anything daring enough that was bold for the kingdom of God that would evoke the presence of God and to give himself glory? Would he be amazed at your great faith or your lack of faith? Now, this isn't just about individuals. This is about our church as well, because we're doing this body talk conversation. And so as a church, God is calling us to be a people of big faith who dream big and pray hard and believe that he can do big things in our life. And if you're a person who believes that God is a big God, if you have a big faith, if you have big dreams because of that, there are a couple of things that you know. And here are three of them. The first one is you cannot play it safe and please God. When you have a big faith, when you're a big thinking, serving a big God, having big dreams, God-sized dreams, when you're dreaming big, you cannot play it safe and please God. This is making sense already? I mean, you cannot play it safe and please God. Now, doesn't it get any more simple than that? But we're going to simplify it even more. Let's look at the Hebrews in the Scriptures, chapter 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is what? It is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so if I do everything within my own power, there is no need for the power of God to show up in my life. That is a faithless existence. So if I've got everything in my life lined up, if I do everything in my power to the point where I don't need the presence of God, that is a faithless existence. You might say, I know God. You might say God's in your life. You might say you have faith, but that is a faithless existence. And it doesn't please God. It doesn't honor God. Now, there are going to be times in our lives where we're going to have doubts. We're going to have a bad day. We're going to feel lost in our faith and our relationship with God. And we're not going to be able to see the next steps. So we're going to be trigger shy and stepping forward in faith. And that's because faith is messy. Faith is not always constant. You're constantly battling between sheer terror and sheer exhilaration in life when it comes to faith in God. The whole trusting him idea both evokes ideas of excitement and joy, and it also evokes feelings of sheer terror. For instance, the very first time I rode a roller coaster when I was in seventh grade, it was at King's Island down in Mason, Ohio, and it was the Vortex. That shows you how old I am. It was the Vortex, and I would always go to King's Island every year with my buddies, and I'm in seventh grade, every year with my buddies, and they would go ride the big rides, and I'd go to Hanna-Barbera Land. And I'd get a blue Smurf ice cream cone, and I'd go ride the Smurf ride. You guys remember this? Anybody remember Hanna-Barbera Land? You remember the Smurf ride? You remember those blueberry blue cones you could get, turn your mouth blue? Those were good, too, by the way. I miss that place. Now it's like Scooby-Doo Land or something. It doesn't hold a candle to Hanna-Barbera Land. And they had the Beastie, like the mini Beastie. I would ride the Beastie. I wouldn't ride the Beast. Now, the Beastie was for guys like me. The E on the end of it was for, like, children 6 and under. And 14-year-olds who couldn't handle the bigger ride, and that was me. So they finally, one day, I decided, I'm going to ride this Vortex thing. It goes upside down 6 times, and it's just crazy drop hill back then. And I'm holding on to the post, though, when I finally get to the entrance. And I'm like, I'm not going to do this. And my buddy's like, you're going on this thing. They pried my fingers off the post, and they hauled me in there. Because they knew once they got me in the line that I wouldn't chicken out in front of everybody that was there and turn around and go. And I finally rode that roller coaster. And it was a step of faith to step onto the roller coaster. It was a step of faith for Peter to step out of the boat. Okay, but it was a step of faith to step onto the roller coaster, and guess what I experienced in the middle of that faithful step? I experienced sheer exhilaration and sheer terror. It was a both and that's exactly what faith is. That's faith. God, I believe you're calling me to do this. I'm going to step onto it. I'm going to step out of it. Here goes, bombs away, here I go. And you can't play it safe and please God. As I mentioned, Peter knew that. In order to touch Jesus and be with Jesus, he had to step out of the boat. Now, listen, he fell in the water and he sank for a while, but he did that after he walked on water. And it's the fear of failure. It's the fear that it's not going to work out. It's the fear that we're going to get sick on the ride. It's the fear that we're going to sink in the water that keeps us from a step of faith, because we think that we're going to miss God if we fail. But did you know that failing isn't missing God when you're taking a step of faith? Actually, it's a discovery of God. So God can pick you up. So God can pick you up. It's actually discovering God, and failing is a part of faith. And you may not know what's going to happen until you get on the coaster. You're not going to know what's going to happen until you step out of the boat. And you're not going to find out until you step out. You ought to write that down. That's a pretty good one. You need to write that down. You're not going to find out until you step out. You're not going to find out until you step out in faith and see what God's going to do. And if you're not failing at times, it's a sign that you're playing it too safe in life, and it doesn't please God, because God wants to be able to pick you up and guide you and lead you. Jesus was amazed. And is he going to be amazed at your great faith, or is he going to be amazed at your lack of faith? Here's the second piece that people know who have a big dream and a big faith and a big God. And the second piece is, first one was, you cannot play it safe and please God. Secondly, as long as you have a guarantee, you don't have faith. As long as you have a guarantee, you don't have faith. We love the guarantee fairy that just comes and sprinkles guarantee pixie dust all over everything. And oh, just let me know all the steps from here on out for the next month, next week, next year, and I'll go ahead and take this step. But it doesn't work that way. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, we get the definition from Scripture of what faith is. It says, faith is the confidence that we hope for that will actually happen. Now, that is just a practical piece of advice written 2,000 years ago for our lives here today. And I've said it 100 times. You need to read Scripture because there's some awesome stuff in here. You need to read it every once in a while. It's good stuff. Faith is the confidence that we hope for that will actually happen. You ever think, man, I hope this actually happens? That's hope. And hope and faith go hand in hand. Because if it was going to happen and you knew it was going to happen, it wouldn't take faith and you wouldn't need hope. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. So what we hope for is therefore not guaranteed. And so we take a step of faith and we say, God, I'm hoping that this is God. I'm hoping that this is going to work. God, I'm hoping that you're in this. I'm hoping that you're guiding and leading. And you trust that his presence is there and that God is sovereign and he's going to care for you and he's going to provide for you. And he's going to provide in a way that may not be a guarantee in this moment, but you know one thing is that God is always there and God will always provide. You just don't know how things are going to turn out. And so what we try to do is we try to get the pre-ask guarantee from God and from life. We want the pre-ask guarantee. Like when I was in fifth grade and Susan so-and-so, I can't remember her last name, sent her friend to me to ask me if I'd go out with Susan. Now we're in the fifth grade. I don't know where we're going. I never even understood what the idea of going, will you go with me? That was the question. She wants to know, say Susan wants you to go with her. Well, where are we going? We going to the cafeteria? We going out to lunch? I mean, you want me to? I'm in fifth grade. You want me to get my car, pick you up, and we'll go to the movies? I mean, where is it that we're going? And so here's the funny thing: if Susan didn't ask me, she sent her friend to ask me why, because she wanted the pre-ask guarantee. She couldn't handle the rejection. She wanted to know through somebody else what I felt about it. So if I were to say no, her friend would go back to her and say no. Now she wouldn't be embarrassed because she didn't have to ask the question. Now if I were to say yes, then she could come to me and ask me the question: would I go with her? Now here's the funny thing: is I said yes, and I didn't hear from her for about an entire week, and she didn't hear from me. And a week later, a friend came back to me and she said, Susan wants to break up with you. And I'm thinking, we didn't even go anywhere. How can we break up? We didn't even do anything together. But it's the pre-ask guarantee. Am I talking to some of you here today that you understand exactly what we're talking about here? This is the way we treat God and we treat life, is we're hesitant to jump in and go all in with God in a faith step because we want the pre-ask guarantee. We want to know the answer beforehand so we don't fall flat on our face. But Peter didn't live like that. You can't step on a roller coaster and live like that. And you certainly can't ask the girl out like that because you won't end up going anywhere. You can have faith, or listen, you need to see this in your notes. You can have faith, or you can have control, but you can't have both. Now, we'd like to have our cake and eat it too, but you can't have both. You can have faith, or you can have control, but you can't have both. Now, which one is a natural human tendency and desire to have? We want to have control. And I know this because I'm a kind of control freak, and Aaron would tell you that. It's hard to kind of let go of that. Some of you are sitting next to someone who kind of wants to be in control all the time. And so control is always the great combatant to faith. You just have to say to God, God, I believe that you're calling me to do this. I hope it's you, God. Here we go. Jump into the roller coaster, step out of the boat, or spend a week at Camp Pressmont at Piedmont Lake for the summer. That's exactly what my daughter Tana did. This past year, she had never held down a full-time job working 40 hours a week before. She'd never been away from the house for more than a day or two. So she certainly had never driven a car an hour and a half away from here. She'd never necessarily led a group of senior high students, and it was kind of intimidating to her. So we take her, and she becomes this camp counselor at Camp Pressmont at Piedmont Lake this summer. And she goes through all kinds of challenges and all kinds of amazing challenges and difficulties, all kinds of blessings. I remember the first day we were there, we dropped her off, and when we were kind of saying goodbye to her, it was like she was going to the electric chair or something. I mean, it was like she just had this glazed over look. You could just tell that inside, you know, she wasn't visibly upset, but I could just tell inside of her heart she was halfway between exhilaration and halfway between terror. She was on her vortex. She was on her roller coaster. She had stepped off with both feet into the water, and she's praying that God was going to pick her up. It only took her 24 hours to warm up, because by the time I talked to her the next day, she'd made good friends with the counselors and just got busy and started working, and God blessed her, and she had a great summer, and if you ask her, she'll tell you about it. But God matured her in ways and built a faith in her in ways that only taking a step of faith would allow, and that's exactly what happened in her life. And so not only as individuals do we need to take these kind of steps, but as a church, we're going to continue to step out and trust that on the other side of it, though we don't know exactly how it's going to turn out, we're going to take steps of faith. We're going to try new things like Tana did. She didn't know how it was going to turn out, but she trusted God in the midst of those kinds of things. And so we're going to step in the new governance model. this next year. We did this back in 2009. It happened a decade before that, and it's going to happen again in 2016. We're stepping into a new governance model. I don't know exactly how it's going to turn out. I'm not God. You don't know how exactly it's going to turn out. You're not God, but we're going to trust God anyways. And we're going to try it because we believe God is calling us to it. We're going to step into our next outreach event. Last year, we brought Maurice Claret in and had a great experience with that. And we have somebody else that we're working on signing right now. Almost have the signed contract, so I can't blurt it out to you who it's going to be, but it's going to be in November. It's going to be a great partnership with our men's ministry. It's got the potential for being a great partnership with a group of 250 people or larger in this area that are relatively unchurched. We've already built some partnerships to bring this person in. We're going to try to partner with local schools in Maysville. I mean, it's a great opportunity. I don't know how it's going to turn out. It'd be easy to say, let's just do the normal thing. Let's just do something normal this weekend. Let's not spend a little bit of money here. Let's not try that because we don't know how it's going to turn out. That's not faith. We've got somebody who has a piece of property adjacent to our church, and they're looking to sell, and they've come to us, and we've put in an offer, and we don't know exactly how that's going to turn out. We don't know where the money's going to come from. We're pretty certain that not all 800 people that attend Rolling Plains Church are going to be excited about it. But we took the step of faith anyways because we believed that God was calling us to it. Now, they haven't gotten back to us. We have no idea if they like the offer. We don't know. But it's a step of faith. You guys understand this faith thing? So this is what I mean as a church. We're going to continue to step out in faith. We're going to try new things. We're going to try new ways to do men's ministry, try new ways to do women's ministry. We're bringing in a lady this fall. What's her name? All right, so we got this awesome lady who I can't remember the name of. She's going to come in here and do a women's ministry gathering. Don Smith Jordan, there we go. So she's coming in. So we're going to try this. We're going to give it a shot because we believe God is calling us to this. So as individuals, we need to have a big faith. As individuals, we really need to realize you can't have faith and control at the same time. But as a church, we got to realize we can't have faith and control at the same time. So how does this play out for you? You know, Maybe you got to step out in faith. Maybe you need to start that business that you feel like you need to start. Maybe there's a ministry that you need to start or get involved in. Maybe you need to adopt a child. Maybe there's a mission trip that you need to go on. Maybe you need to go with Pastor Nancy in October and go to South Dakota and watch how God can use you. You're like, I don't know. I don't know if we have the money for it. I don't know if we have the time for it. Listen, I don't know if we have the money for the piece of property, but God's going to provide if he calls us to it. I said, listen, I didn't know if I had the time to go to Vietnam 2 months, 2 weeks out of April and May. I said, listen, God's going to provide my time if he's calling me to it. And so what is it for you? Where is that personal step, that personal call that God is leading you to? You know, maybe you need to ask the girl out. Maybe, you know, ladies, you want to ask the guy out. Don't send somebody else to do your business. Go do it. If God has called you to do it, he'll give you the provisions to be able to do it. But that guarantee thing. The guarantee thing messes with us, and you got to understand one thing. The guarantee is God is with you. The guarantee is that God is in control. The guarantee is that God has a plan, and if he calls you to something, he is not going to turn his back on you. And this kind of reminds me of the stepping out in faith thing when I stepped onto that plane going to Vietnam, which leads me to the third thing you know if you're a big dreamer and you have a big faith. To step towards your destiny, you have to step away from your security. To step towards your destiny, you have to step away from your security, because you can't go and do the new thing if you're constantly clinging back here to the same old thing that you keep doing. To step towards your destiny, you have to step away from your security. And let me tell you about this Vietnam trip that I took at the end of April and early May that you prayed for me and provided, and God did amazing things. Let me talk to you about comfort zones and stepping away from security. Here's my security, this time zone. This time zone is my security. Not a time zone 12 hours away. Here's my security, a non-communist country. This is my security, America. You know, now listen, I've been to the Middle East. No, I haven't. I've been to Central America to on countless mission trips, and it didn't pale in comparison to this leap across the globe to a communist country that's not open to the gospel and where the government can offer punishment and persecution towards Christians. Here's my security in burgers and French fries. I didn't know what I was going to be eating when I went over there. I'd not eaten the cuisine over there before. You want to know what? When we were in Washington Dulles Airport before we took off for our Japan connection in order to get to Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam, guess what meal we had? Burgers and fries at Five Guys. Can I get an amen to that? Woo! We went to Five Guys and had burgers and fries. That was our last supper, friends, because we didn't know what we were going to be having. So, I mean, that's my comfort zone. Does this make sense? My comfort zone is teaching you guys on Sunday morning, not teaching a group of seminary pastors, 80 of them, in a foreign country where I don't even speak their language. I wasn't comfortable with that at all. I wasn't comfortable with that at all. By the way, I forgot to finish that. On the way back, we flew back into Washington Dulles. We had a five-hour layover, and we didn't fly into the terminal that had Five Guys Burgers and Fries. It was like a half an hour traverse over there and a half an hour back. But hey, we had a five-hour layover, so guess what we had as our first meal back in the United States? Five Guys Burgers and Fries. Yeah, I'll take the regular with bacon and anything American on it, okay? Just put that, I mean, no more fish head soup, no more weasel poop coffee beans. I don't want any of that on my burger. I just want straight up American cuisine. So this is my comfort level, and that's why God stretched me when I stepped out onto this trip to see what God was going to do. You've got to step away from the stuff that secures you and step towards your destiny. And you can't step towards your destiny while you're back here holding on to what secures you. I couldn't step towards Vietnam if I'm back here holding on to the security of what I experience here in America. In Hebrews, the Bible reminds us this is exactly what Abraham did. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went. Watch this. Even though he did not know where he was going. Who does that? Abraham did. That's what Abraham did. He had no idea where he was going, but he knew he was called to it. And I didn't have a clue where I was going. Yeah, on a map, I saw that it was Vietnam. This is my knowledge of Vietnam, was all the Vietnam War movies I'd ever seen. Rambo and Missing in Action and We Were Soldiers. And that was my clouded view of what I was stepping into. And maybe for you veterans, you have a different picture of Vietnam than maybe what it is right now. And I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know what I was doing. I pointed to another map, but I'd never been there before. I was clueless. But when you take that step, you keep your eyes focused on the author and the perfecter of your faith, and all of a sudden, by his power, you're not walking by sight anymore. You're actually walking, or in this case, riding a plane by faith. You're riding a roller coaster by faith. You're riding on a plane by faith. You're walking on water by faith, not by sight, because you're keeping your eyes on the author and perfecter of your faith. And in the process, it brings glory to God. And when you take these steps of faith, it pleases him. So how would God be amazed at your faith? Would he be amazed at the lack of it? Or would he be amazed at the size of your faith? Think about this for a second. You have access to the most powerful, all-creating God we could ever possibly know. The Lord God of our universe. There is none like him. He is the Lord. He raised Jesus from the dead. He's seated in the throne room of heaven on his Father's right hand. And you have access to him. You can pray to him. You can talk to him. He gives you the power of the Holy Spirit downloaded into who you are. The presence of God lives in you. The same presence and power that raised Jesus from the dead. You have access to God. And when you ask him, the Bible promises us that he hears our requests. Yet amazingly, we don't take that step. Yet amazingly, we don't ask. Yet amazingly, we don't trust. And that's because our biggest problem is our small view of God. Our biggest problem is our small view of God. And for most of us, if Jesus would look at us, he would be amazed at our lack of faith rather than amazed at the size of our faith. So again, how does this translate? How does this play out for us? Maybe it means it's time for you to take that step of faith and share your faith with a family member or friend or your boss at work, because they just need a word of God. They need a word of life spoken into them in a gracious and loving way. Maybe for you, it means you're going to tithe for the very first time. You're going to take the first 10% according to God's word, according to the Bible, and put it in the offering plate. And you don't know if it's going to add up or not. And you're just going to trust God. You're going to give it to the storehouse, as it says back in Malachi in the Old Testament, put it in the offering plate and trust God for it. And guess what? You're not going to have your faith grow in the area of giving until you step out a little bit. You know, in order to experience faith, you got to step out of your comfort zone and you got to step into your destiny. And when you do that, you'll discover God's going to do a whole new thing. You see, we have got to let go of the excuses and start doing what God's calling us to do and watch God show up and bless us in an incredible way and grow our faith and take that first step. You see, the great problem that we have is that we want to hear what step 2, 3, and 4 are before we take step number 1. But friends, taking step number 1 is faith. And you oftentimes won't know from God what step 2, 3, or 4 are because he's waiting for you to take that first step of faith. How about the Israelites when they were crossing the Jordan River into the Promised Land to take it? And you remember how that happened? Did the waters just part? No, the priests carrying the ark had to step into the water. They got ankle deep all up in that water. And it wasn't until they stepped into the water till the waters parted. That takes faith. Listen, you're not going to walk on water until you step out of the boat. You're not going to cross the Jordan River, and it's not going to part until you put your feet in it. You're not going to know the power of a roller coaster until you step on it. And you're not going to know if she's going to say yes until you ask her. And you won't know what kind of food you're going to have in Vietnam until you put down the Five Guys and get on the plane. You just don't know exactly what's going to happen. So maybe for you it means getting involved in a youth ministry. And you say, well, you know, or the kids' praise ministry. Work with our young people and say, well, I'm not cool enough. Well, neither am I. But listen, God can use anyone at any age to minister to our young people. Maybe you're going to adopt. You're going to start the business. You're going to write the book. You're going to start a ministry that you feel a part of. But you won't be able to play it safe. You're not going to have all the answers. And you certainly won't be able to be in control. It will require you to take a step of faith away from security and into God's arms of destiny. It will require God to show up. And when he shows up big time, it's then that your faith will grow. And you're thinking, man, I wish I had a bigger faith. Well, you want to know what God's wishing? That you take a step of faith. You can't grow your faith if you don't take steps of faith. It's the steps of faith that grow you. Tawna has grown more in the 2 or 3 months that she's been at Camp Pressmont than she has in the last 17 years of her life. Why? Because she took a huge step of faith and put herself and gave control to God and put herself in a situation where God had to show up and bless her and deal with issues and help her with challenges in a way that she's never had a chance to have to deal with before. If you want a faith accelerant, take a step of faith, take a risk, let go of control, step out, and God will grow the size of your faith. He will grow the size of your vision for him. You'll no longer have a small view of God as your biggest problem. Your biggest problem will be that you have a big view of God, and it's going to get you in all kinds of spiritual trouble, which is great. That's awesome. That's awesome. So your faith grows, and when your faith grows, our faith grows as the body of Christ, and you start to see that we are a church that together we're going to dream big, we're going to believe big in a big God, we're going to think big, we're going to take risks, and it's not going to be easy, and we're not going to sit back in life and coast as a church, but we're a church that has a core value that is emerging, that we're going to dream big and pray hard around the promises of God that are in Scripture, and we're going to pray until God answers those promises, and we're going to see God do huge things through us in this church, outside the walls of this church, into the community, and into the world. Because we haven't been given a small commission, we've been given a great commission. And we're never going to stop growing until every person within a 5-mile, 10-mile, 15-mile radius of this church, some of you drive from further away from that, until everyone has a church home, until everybody knows Jesus, these doors are going to be open to anybody and everybody to come as you are, to come and experience this place. And you think, but the church is getting so big, we're kind of becoming a mega church. I'm scared of being a mega church. Listen, we're not a mega church. We're a church with a mega vision. We're a church with a mega vision. Why? Because we serve a God of the Great Commission, not of the small commission. And so that faith pleases God. That kind of faith pleases God. So how will God be amazed when he looks at you? Will he be amazed at the size of your faith or the smallness of your faith? How will he be amazed at our church? Will he be amazed at how small our faith is or how big our faith is? In the next year, God wants to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ask or imagine according to his power, both in us as individuals, but in us as Rolling Plains Church, as the body of Christ. Are you all in? Are you all in to what God might do? It's going to be a great ride. It's going to be filled with loop-de-loos. We might sink into the water a little bit. We might fail a little bit, but we're going to try. We're going to trust, and we're going to hope because we want God to increase our faith as we reach our community for Jesus Christ. Here's a couple of coaching action statements. Number one, take a step of faith this week. I don't know what it is, but you know what it is. Take that step of faith this week. Number two, ask God to give you a bigger vision for your life and for your church. Take your small view of God and let God expand it. And thirdly, let go of control. That might be the most painful of all. The fourth one isn't on here, but as we're done and dismissed from this worship service, there is a poster board on the left, on the right. It's the farthest one, and it says Dream Big at the top, and there's a paragraph at the bottom that explains it. We want you to write down your dreams on that piece of paper. You can put your name with it, or you don't have to put your name with it, but write down your dreams. What are your dreams? And we want to see what the dreams of the people in our church are and pray over them and believe God for big things. So would you do that on your way out? And there's pens over there, and you can write down your dreams and make those promises to God, and we'll be praying that you step out in those awesome opportunities to do that. So let's take this opportunity to hear a little bit about our connections.